Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, our pod squad are with me for those very rare moments that you're not tuned into News Talk, obviously. Today, though, we're chatting about the problem with Eric.
Eric Mond had it all. A wife and kids. A mansion by the Austin Country Club golf course. An executive position with his family's car dealership. But Eric also had a problem.
You understand when blackmail starts, it doesn't end. It's $25,000 today, it's $250 next week, it's $750 a year later.
He came up with a plan to handle the problem himself. Which is to say, he paid some other guys to handle it.
So, my pod squad this week, News Talk reporter Tom Douglas and journalist and podcast enthusiast Laura Mullett, you're both very welcome. You might explain, Laura, this podcast to people, first of all.
Okay, guys, this is a bit of a sticky one. It's kind of complicated. The first episode I listened to, I was like, okay, really trying to get sucked in. So this is about a man called Eric Mond. As you heard, he's a businessman. He kind of inherited a car dealership from his family. But in this instance, he's literally a millionaire. Like, he's got so much funds. He was a family man from the outside, but looking in, he was cheating on his wife with escorts. So what happened was he saw a woman called Holly Williams in Nashville over a weekend. Then he started to receive blackmail. So what he did was he hired a man. And unfortunately, things just got completely out of hand. So the man he hired, it made headlines everywhere because he was Charlie Sheen's ex-bodyguard.
And this man, it's a true story.
It's a true story. But this man had his own agenda. And I think the really sad thing is this woman, Holly Williams, got caught up in the crosshairs. She had a very, very jealous boyfriend.
Did you know anything about this, Tom?
No. Absolutely nothing about the case before it happened. And it's so recent as well. Like, this kind of all kicked off in March 2020. The murders happened on March 12th, 2020.
Yeah.
And as you say, like, it's not so much of a whodunit, because we kind of, the clip there kind of explains to you, Eric Mond was the guy who had it all, but he had a big problem. So we know who done it. It's kind of more of a why done it and how did they do it? And how did they try to get away with it?
How many episodes have you listened to?
All of them so far. The sixth one dropped this afternoon and
did
I was looking longingly at it, but I've work to do, so maybe on the way home.
What about you?
I have to be honest, I tuned in on the way here. I had to find out what happened. From kind of the outset, I wasn't sure if this podcast was for me because it sounds like a convoluted plot, but when you get into it and you sort of have a little bit of an understanding, the kind of manipulation of it is what fascinated me. Like, this man, like the killers for hire, saw him coming a mile away. And I mean, it cost him more money to pay these people than to just, you know, pay the blackmail fees.
So it's we're at the sixth episode drop today, isn't that?
Yeah.
And is that the so you've listened to it, is that the conclusion?
No, it doesn't feel concluded. I'd say there's at least two more episodes in the series,
right.
I would guesstimate, but I could be a little bit off there.
Okay. I'm going to ask you for your thoughts on it now in a moment, but I'm two episodes in, right? And now by the end of the first episode, I was sort of thinking about just not bothering to listen to any more of it, but I knew I obviously had to. So I got the second episode in today. I'd hoped to get another one in earlier before the show, but I didn't get a chance. But it's, I found it very slow moving, Tom.
The first episode is tough. Yeah,
well,
the first episode
is the second
is,
now. It's slow, like.
I felt like it picked up after that, and I feel like they were trying to get too much across in the first episode
or
something.
You don't know what's going on. It was bonkers stuff. Like, it was chopping and changing.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that thought that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that too. I was like, am I slow? Like, am I not picking this up or am I the problem?
I have this little diagram of characters I have, and there's Eric himself, there's Holly, there's the boyfriend, there's, I think, four names or five names in law enforcement who are mentioned. There's three more names in that team, in that team you mentioned that were hired to at first dig in and find out who was the extortion attempt person, because it was an anonymous text to Eric's phone and he had no idea who it was who had spotted him and Holly Williams, or Layla Love as her online name went. That's how he knew her. But the team that was involved, there's a person who's referred to only as a code name because he's worked in high levels of US security, US kind of government security positions. So they couldn't name him in the podcast. So they just called him Red. His voice is used, though, which I thought was a bit peculiar. But like, the access to audio and the access to speakers they have in the US is unbelievable as a reporter here. Like, when you deal with crime, the access is just isn't there. Whereas they had an assistant district attorney, Robert Maguire, sit down and just do an interview. And they had a cop sit down and just do an interview. Like, it's more difficult. I'm sure, Andrea, you and your team know quite well how difficult it is to get a guard to sit down or to get a barrister to sit down.
Yeah, very, very, very rare that'll ever happen. But it is, I suppose, I kind of thought that might be the case, that once they got past the second episode, that there might be, it might, all the different pieces might start to gel together, because at the moment, like, you do need to concentrate on this.
Yeah. There's elements I just don't want to spoil for anyone. Like, I'm very aware of, like, in the latter three episodes, it gets really, really, really interesting, fascinating, captivating, shocking. One thing I'll say is this: how they all turned on Eric Mound is crazy. Like, he weaved a web. Now, he is, like, he's a bad person for what he did, like, morally, ethically, in every way. He just threw money at a problem, thought he was invincible. But the man, Gil Paled, so that's Charlie Sheen's ex-bodyguard, he is just, oh my God, he was the real orchestrator of the whole thing. And the way he went about it and how greedy he was, like, he was having financial problems. He'd been fired by Charlie Sheen. He used to be like a big celebrity in-demand bodyguard. And then all of a sudden he'd moved his family to Texas and he was struggling. But he really used this as an opportunity to point the finger at the wrong person. Right. Like, Holly, the escort in question, the poor girl wasn't the blackmailer. She didn't actually know this was going on, and surveillance started on her. He couldn't really provide updates, so he led Eric Mound to believe that it was the pair of them, her and the boyfriend. But she was in a terrible relationship with the boyfriend and was being mistreated. So I just think, at the same time, with sensitivity, I think this probably could be triggering for anyone who has suffered from domestic abuse. Okay. Holly Williams.
It's worth flagging that.
Yeah, Holly Williams is someone who was a real victim in the situation. But from the outside looking in, it is nice to see that perpetrators, like, they really, like, this was solved. The FBI were on it. It's a very, very good podcast.
How did you find, in terms of the narration and how the podcast is told, Tom?
I found the first episode, like I said, quite tough, but they used audio really well in the first one, but they were kind of bouncing from speaker to speaker so quickly that I was like, hold on a second, like, who's Bill? Like, I needed to rewind and nearly find out who that person was back 3 minutes ago, because we're going from Bill to John to Mary to Andrea back to Bill, and you're going, hold on a second here. But it picked up. I found the style of it is kind of the reporter. I think it's Kathy Vine is the voice, and she's kind of telling you the story, but it's interspersed with music and with clips, which kind of keeps the pace of it and keeps your ear, because if you're listening to somebody just orate at you for 30 or 40 minutes, you lose interest pretty quickly. She sometimes speaks into a clip in that, how do I say it? She'll, and this is how it happened. And there'll be a police officer say, you know, we had a surveillance device attached to the person's car. Or it kind of, how would I say, it flows really well in parts. And then there's other parts where she will say, and Andrea said this. It's just two different ways of introducing audio.
And that's probably, it's probably radio ears might maybe pick up on that kind of stuff. Yeah, but I do wonder, because on the outside, it is the kind of, it's a murder for hire plot story. And it's twisted and sort of bonkers along the way, the more you find out about it. But it probably is gripping though, Laura, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that the way the perpetrators dig their own grave gives a little bit of comic relief, because it is such a heavy subject matter. So I think they play the recordings of the lads trying to catch each other out. And that fascinated me. I was like, no, stop. No, you didn't say this over the phone. No. And it is brilliant. And I love the fact that we're getting to hear this and to understand it. But no, after listening to it, I can't cope with the fact that this man had such financial freedom. He threw it all away, and then he just threw money at a problem that he could have just, I don't know, apologized to his wife and maybe gone to rehab or corrected his ways or apologized. Like, he really, to say he escalated a situation to wanting to murder multiple people, even besides Holly and Will, like, he's a very, very strange man.
You're obviously going to stick with it, Tom.
Yeah, 100%.
No question about it. Yeah. What about you?
I have to know what happens next.
Yeah. But this is the thing. Like, and even sometimes when I'm listening to the podcast, I do try then not to, you know, to go and research or Google it too much to find out about the story. But I actually I'd never heard a thing about this.
No. I think that's the thing about a lot of true crime podcasts that come out of America and Australia. I'm aghast at what I hear. But at the same time, you're like, these may seem like rural stories in such big countries. There's so much going on, and I suppose Ireland is a smaller island, that we're very aware of everything that's going on, maybe in a different scale. But when I hear some of these true crime, like even just isolated to Texas alone, the crime rates are just off the charts compared
Austin,
to what we can
Texas is
understand.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Where a lot of it's based. Yeah. Is it too soon for the podcast, given how recent this happened, do you think? Or
I don't know. I think maybe the fact that it happened not too long, maybe 4 or 5 days before our first lockdown started, it feels like a lot longer ago than like I can remember what I was doing in that week. I was only in the door here at Newstalk. I feel like it's a little bit longer ago than it really is.
Is, yeah. So you're both going to stick listening to it. I think I will too, actually, because I'm so far behind by comparison to where you guys are. How many stars out of 5, Tom?
5.
Wow.
Yeah. The first episode is rough if you're listening to it, but it picks up in 3, 4, 5 and you've listened to 6. Yeah.
I don't blame them for the first episode being bad. I think it's just such a complicated story.
So where do you start?
Yeah, I'd have to completely agree and give it 5 stars. It's probably the best podcast I've heard in a long time.
That's incredible. It's been such. I don't think we've ever had 5 stars from you. Yes. And I don't think I'm fully, you know, I haven't listened to enough of it to be able to give it 5.
Yeah, I think there's an accountability in it that I like. And you don't always get that kind of closure by episode 6 of something. Yeah,
you love a good catchy story, though.
I surely do.
We are talking about The Problem with Eric. That is this week's podcast. My thanks as always though to our pod squad, our own News Talk reporter Tom Douglas, and also a journalist and podcast enthusiast Laura Mullett. Thanks a million to you both for joining us here on the show.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan, weekdays at midday,
brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.